Lord, we thank you for this worship today. We thank you for this special day, Father's Day. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, will be acceptable before you and your people. Holy Spirit, speak to us this day, that special message that you have for each one of us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So today is Father's Day. One day a year we think of our fathers. Some of us are able to take our father, grandfather, great-great-grandfather, maybe out for dinner, give him a card, look at old photos. Fathers certainly can be lots of fun, and we have lots of fun stories about our fathers. And with the rebellion of the song with all the ladies today, it seems very appropriate, these two little ones I have. The father of five children had won a toy at a raffle. So he called all his kids together to ask which one should get the present. He's going to ask them three questions and see what their answers were. Who is the most obedient, he asked. Who never talks back to mother? And who does everything mother said? All five voices in reply replied in unison, "Okay, Daddy, you can get the toy." While having their evening dinner together, a little girl looked up at her father and asked, "Daddy, you're the boss of the family, right?" And the father was very pleased to hear it and confidently replied, "Yes, my little princess." The girl then continued, "That's because mommy put you in charge, right?" And again, I think it just fits well this morning. You know, it's interesting in this day and age in which we live, and certainly in the conversations I'm in with different people and lots of the reading that I'm doing of sort of contemporary thought, I guess, and whatnot, the idea of mother and father has changed. And in many ways, fathers are a parent. As fathers work hard for their families, mothers work hard for their families, and our parents are very important in our lives and form who we are in so many ways. We wouldn't be here, none of us, if we didn't have a father involved at some point. And we can't deny that. I mean, science hasn't changed that particular method of creating people at this point, so we know that there's a father and a mother, a male and a female, involved. And despite how the roles of fathers may have changed in so many ways, and I know that I've kind of soapboxed over this, and what I mean by that is get on my soapbox and try to make statements about things, about how things have changed so dramatically in our society, it would seem, in relation to even 50 or 60 years ago. And it seems that fathers in so many ways, certain ways I guess, seem to be kind of out in the open water drifting a little bit because the role has been redefined. And what I mean by that specifically is the role has been undefined. It's never really been fully redefined. It's difficult to understand your position, and I think mothers struggle with the same thing very much. We knew kind of what mother and father was in the family unit, but the family unit itself has changed in so many ways. There's lots of single parents, and there's lots of mixed marriages, and there's lots of sort of half-brothers and sisters, and that makes up the new family as opposed to when it was, as I say, 50 or 60 years ago. So understanding what father means can be difficult. And I point this out because all through Scripture we hear about God the Father and God our Father. We can read, for instance, in Matthew 6, this is Jesus speaking, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or what you will drink, or about your body, or what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear?" In Matthew 7, "Is there any among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" If we have difficulty understanding the concept in so many ways of Father in our own relationships, how then can we fully appreciate this Father that's being described throughout Scripture? A Father who loves us. There are lots of modern translations of Scripture that I've read and prayers that have been retranslated, and I smirk only because it seems like such a big deal to so many people, and it's a minor thing in so many other ways, but where they want to change, you know, our Father to our Mother, as if that makes some kind of a difference. The notion here is that God is our parent figure in so many ways. And as Christ himself says, a good parent wouldn't give bad things to their children. A good parent would look after their children. But Father is what's been referenced in so many cases in Scripture. And it's clear. Mistranslating it in so many ways to Mother is a mistranslation. There's an idea that's being presented here. And as I've been preparing this last week in particular for a Bible study that we're going to be having in about a week and a half, we're going to be talking about how to look at Scripture, how to read it just for what it has to say, and not trying to impose our own thoughts and our own feelings. What is being said here? And what was the role of a father when Scriptures were being written? How was a father seen? Well, certainly in the Old Testament, fathers protected their families. We lived in a very different world in those days. It was a very warlike, certainly as we read Old Testament Scriptures, we can see where people were fighting with one another physically. Fathers were there to protect their families. Fathers were there to provide for their families in physical ways. We don't see that so much today. Fathers aren't out there fighting off enemies with swords and shields. Fathers aren't necessarily out there plowing up fields, and there's no other way for food to come into their families. We have both parents, in often cases, working. So both parents are providing, both parents are protecting in that sense. So our understanding, when we think of Father's Day, when we think of Mother's Day, is to think of God in that sense that Christ says. Is there any among you, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone, or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask? And as we read in that story of Jesus looking after that very sick individual, ill person, he's told to declare all the good things that Jesus had done. He's declaring the good things that his Father in heaven has provided for him, healed him, made him well. We too can declare these things. We too can declare these things because God has known us from the very beginning. God the Father has known us from the very beginning. Psalm 139, verse 14 says this, "I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." God has created every single one of us, God our Father, has created every single one of us to be fearfully and wonderfully made. He loves us. And that word fearfully, I've said to you before, is a love concept, not an afraid concept. It's a love concept. Hard to understand when you hear that word fearful, but it is. We are lovingly and wonderfully made. God has done these things for us. Because we don't understand the relationship so well today, maybe, or maybe we understand it differently, that's much more fair. We need to understand how that relationship works. Our fathers and our mothers shape us because it's a very important relationship. It's a relationship that's known from the very beginning, as Psalm 139 even says about God. It shapes who we think about, how we think of ourselves, and how we see ourselves. I think it seems that the older that we get, and I've watched this in so many different lives, the more we kind of have those first formative 4 or 5 years in our life, and what went on in that part of our life seems to shape who we are today. And I think of it in the same way as our Christian life. In those first developmental years of our faith, whenever that may be, whether it was from birth for many folks who've been raised as Christian people or for other folks who came to faith later, those developmental years shape our relationship with our Father. and they're important. And it's how we see ourselves, not necessarily always, as lovingly and wonderfully made. Not something that we can remember to declare how much God has done for us. God has done so much for us. And I tried to say that with the kids this morning when I talked about just air. Even something as simple as that. God blesses us with every breath and every exhale, with life. And that alone is a blessing. And despite how we read things maybe in Psalm 22 and in Isaiah where there's much despair, and there seems to be much despair around us in so many ways, as we breathe in, we can remember how much God has done for us just by simply allowing us to take that breath and to feel His love. So I guess the one big point about Mother's Day and Father's Day is to remember to declare all the wondrous things that your parents have meant to you and all of us, that our parents have done for us, that will do for us, and how much they love us. But more importantly, to remember God our Father. And just as Jesus said in the Gospel reading today, to declare how much God has done for each one of us. How God sees us is important. There's a little girl standing in her grandfather's lap as he read her a story, and from time to time she'd take her eyes off the book and reach up and touch his wrinkled cheek. By and by, she was alternately stroking her own cheek and then his again. And finally she spoke, "Granddad, did God make you?" "Yes, sweetheart," he answered. "God made me a long time ago." "Oh," she said. Then, "Granddad, did God make me too?" "Yes, indeed, honey," he assured her. "God made you just a little while ago." "Oh," she said. And then feeling their faces again, she observed, "Well, God's getting better at it, isn't he?" Well, in that story, the little girl thought that she was kind of the best in so many ways. But as parents and as fathers, we want our children to be the best. We certainly want to do the best for them as best we can. And our Heavenly Father wants to do that for us. And in John 3:16 and verse 17, you always have to include those two. Everybody always just quotes 16. 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And today, this day, let us do just as Jesus has instructed in that scripture reading this morning, with this particular scripture telling us how much God loves us. Return to your home today and declare how much God has done for you. Amen.